Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others?" Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 9 chapter 29th verse, the Lord says, "Samo aham sarva bhuteshu na me doeshu asti na priha." I'm equal to everyone, no one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Hata putra diti shakra parshini grahena vishnuna. Therefore, the Lord was clearly partial to Indra, although he is super soul in everyone's heart. The soul is extremely dear to everyone, and similarly, super soul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty acquisition on the part of the super soul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation. Yet, he took side of Indra just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to everyone. But when he saw Krishna acted as an enemy of the demons, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed this question to Sukhdev Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualifications. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm his conviction, he wanted to hear from authority Sukhdev Goswami. Srila Vishwachakri Thakur says, "Samasya katham vaishamayam." Since Lord is equally disposed to everyone, how can he be partial? "Priyasya katham asureshu priti abhava." The Lord, being the super soul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior towards the asuras? How is this impartial? "Suhirda cha katham teshu asauhirdam." Since the Lord says that he is Suhirdam sarva bhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could he act with partiality by killing the demons? Partial. These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj and therefore inquired from Sukhdev Goswami. So, "Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunam Litam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paischa Deshtarane." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, in this purport, anyway, the first point which strikes is Sri Rajovacha. Now, King Parikshit is asking a question to Sukhdev Goswami. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that he was little doubtful about Krishna. And that's interesting because Parikshit is pure devotee. He witnessed Lord in the womb of his mother, Uttara. He was a pure devotee, right? Even before birth, who can see God face to face, and yet he is having doubts. So what does it mean? Do people like us who are conditioned have doubts? Do people like liberated souls have doubts? Well, Parikshit has a doubt here. So doubt is not bad, one thing. But doubt which is not solved, that is bad. Because it is said by Shukracharya in Shukra Niti that fire, enemy, snake and doubt, they should be immediately destroyed. Because a spark can change into a forest fire. An enemy can change into the worst opponent. A snake can bite you, and a doubt can expand and can become illusion. A doubt can become into bewilderment. It can take you away from Krishna. Small doubts. Just like we might have some small doubts regarding some devotee, and if we don't get it solved, it might increase, and then you have communication problem, and then you have fight, and then there's so much politics, and then everything is disturbed. So doubt is not bad. A doubt which is not solved can lead to skepticism. There's a philosophy, skepticism, that nothing exists. How can I be sure that whether this word exists, whether I exist? These are the questions which philosopher is asking. Good doubts, athato brahma jigyasa, who is God? Okay, this is good question. This is good. So Parikshit Maharaj asks a doubt. That is what is Sri Rajovacha. It is beginning here. To Sukhdev Goswami, and Sukhdev is now answering Parikshit. Prabhupada mentions another point. Generally devotees ask doubt not exactly to solve their own doubts, but to increase their conviction. Prabhupada says he wanted to increase his conviction because he wanted to hear from authority Sukhdev Goswami. He knew the answer, but he wanted to be convinced. Yes. So, and that is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say. Yesterday, it was his disappearance day. He used to say, when a person chants with purity and sincerity, a devotee gets realizations. But then those realizations has to be confirmed by scriptures and pure devotees, authorities. So, we think that we read books and attain devotion. That's okay for us. But it's the other way around also. Books do not come first and then devotion comes. First devotion comes and then books comes from devotion. It was the devotion in heart of Rupa Goswami which manifested nectar of devotion. No? So, Parikshit is asking questions for himself, for getting convinced, and to help others to get convinced so that Bhagavatam is spoken. You see, bhakti gives rise to devotees and scriptures. This is the power of devotion. And that is why it is said Sri Rajovacha. Okay, so what doubt he had? That's the purport of this first chapter. In fact, this entire canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the doubt he had is, you see, if you read 7th canto entirely, and Prabhupada mentions in the summary, I didn't read summary, but I can mention the point of what Prabhupada summarizes there. Prabhupada summarizes this 7th canto. It speaks about many subjects, and it speaks about perfect society, the perfect person, and the perfect family, the perfect civilization, the perfect devotee, and the perfect demon. That is 7th canto. It's all perfection. But doubt of Parikshit is, God is also perfect. If everything is perfect, He should be perfect. But here Parikshit is having a doubt. I don't think that God is perfect. How is it? Om Purnamidam Purnamada. From perfection proceeds perfection. From darkness proceeds darkness. From light proceeds light. How come from imperfection proceeds perfection? And Parikshit says, yes, I have a doubt that God is imperfect because it seems that He is partial. He is partial. And that's what this word comes. Indriyasya artha. He is partial. Arthe means for partiality. That arthe in Sanskrit has many meanings. Artha means money. One of the meaning is value. Value system. Money has value, so that is why earth also means value. Rite artham yat pratiyete na pratiyete cha atmani. Bhagavatam says artha. And arthe also means for the benefit. Anything which has value, anything which we do valuable for somebody else, that is for his benefit, no? It's all synonyms. but different shades of meaning. So Parikshit says, Krishna is doing some beneficial activity for Indra. But at the same time, he is killing Hiranyakashipu. So it seems he is partial. It seems he is not perfect. He is affected by good and bad. People who hate him, he hates them. You see, it's ordinary person, no? Now Hiranyakashipu wants to kill Vishnu, so Vishnu says, I'll kill him. Indra flatters Vishnu by prayers. So Vishnu says, okay, I'm happy with him. It's like very ordinary dealings. Just like we do, no? Somebody flatters us, we'll be so happy. Even if we know he's flattering us, still we can't help ourselves being happy. That's how this word goes, no? Even if we know he's flattering me, still we become happy. We'll not become annoyed. And anybody who hates us, we hate him. Same Vishnu is doing the same thing. So many demons are coming to kill him, he kills them. People who are his devotees, who are his beneficiaries, he is helping them. It seems partiality. He's not perfect. And that's his question. Indriyasya katham daityam. Katham means how. How is it possible he is killing Hiranyakashipu and he's helping Indra? So that's the question of Parikshit Maharaj. And it's a big question. In fact, Jiva Goswami, he has written 6 sandarbhas. Sandarbhas means chapters or books. One of the sandarbhas is Paramatma Sandarbha. Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita the names of these books. So one of the sandarbhas is Paramatma Sandarbha. There are other sandarbhas, Bhagavat Sandarbha and Preeti Sandarbha. Bhagavat Sandarbha, there's so many Sandarbhas. So in Paramatma Sandarbha, it's a big book. If you buy, you can, they might be having, it's a thick book. And there's just one question dealt in that book. This question, what Parikshit is asking. How can Vishnu be impartial? How can Vishnu be partial? He should be impartial. That is perfection. That is perfection. So what's the answer for that? Answer for that, interesting thing is, Parikshit Maharaj, he himself is providing the answer in this verse, if you look carefully. And Prabhupada is starting his purport by the answer. And the key to the answer is Samo. Samaha Priya Suhrit Brahmana. That's the answer. Parikshit knows the answer. And that's why he says Sama. And that's why Prabhupada says in the purport, he was a little doubtful, although he knew the answer. But this is the answer. And Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Samo aham sarva bhuteshu na me doesho asti na priya. Beautiful verse, but often misinterpreted. So Krishna says, I am equal to everyone. I am not partial. Now here is an interesting point. Sama means equal, but Sama doesn't mean neutral. Although we like to take the meaning of Sama as neutral. So it seems, Samo am sarva bhuteshu. I am neutral to everybody. Krishna says, no, I am not neutral. I am equal. And there is a difference between neutrality and equality. So you might be sitting here in this temple. Somebody comes and he blasphemes you. And there is no reaction. And somebody comes who he praises you and there is no reaction. So that means neutral. You are neutral. You are like a stone. And that's a word used in Sanskrit. Udasin vat. They don't have to do anything with anybody. But Krishna is not like that. Sama means equal, not neutral. So equal means Krishna is equal. Krishna equally does mercy to everyone. Samo aham sarva bhuteshu. Na me doeshu asti. People who hate me, I don't hate them. People who are very nice and pious, they're not special to me. I give equal mercy. Just as a cloud pours rains on ocean and desert equally, similarly I pour mercy equally on people who hate me and people who love me. Who praise me. That's what Krishna is. So, and this is, you see, this is what is same with God and same with devotee. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, devotees are also equal. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane gavihastini suni cha eva shvapake cha pandita samadarshina. So devotees also have equal vision, but doesn't mean that they are neutral. Devotees' vision is fixed on service, and God's vision is fixed on mercy. This is how they both are equal. In all situations, devotees can fix their mind on service. Yes, somebody comes and blasphemes a devotee, no problem. A devotee will not think of taking revenge. A devotee will think, how can I serve this person? Just like Christ. People were crucifying Christ. And what he said, God, please, O Almighty Father, please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. His vision was fixed on service. This is what a devotee is. And you know what? So I'll tell you a small anecdote, a story. In South India, there was a big saint, Alwar. His name was Mahamuni, Mahapurna. So he was one of the spiritual master of Ramanuja. So he was giving a lecture like this. And one person stood, he was really envious of him. He stood and he started blaspheming him. That you are nonsense, you are crazy, and you don't know anything, you are wasting time, and you are speaking completely wrong things. And Mahapurna started weeping. Tears came in his eyes. And other people were thinking, he's an ordinary man, what happened to him? And his devotees were confused. But then they asked Mahapurna, what happened? You are so hurt. This man, he's making you weep. So let's beat this man. So Mahapurna says, no, stop it. I am not weeping because I am hurt. Neither I am neutral. If Mahapurna was neutral, he wouldn't have wept. Is it? You blaspheme a stone, it will not weep. So, but I am weeping because I was thinking that he blasphemed me after such a long time. He should have blasphemed me on the first day to make me remember that I am not a big guru, to humble me. He is my friend. By blaspheming me, he is making me remember that I don't have any position. I am supposed to be guru of everybody, but I am completely useless. He is making me realize my original situation. That I am not a guru, I am not Mahapurna, I am not spiritual master of Ramanuja, I am absolutely useless person. And that's why he's my best friend. And that's why I'm weeping. That why didn't he help me before? This is a devotee, you see. How can a devotee think like that? It's impossible for us to think like that. At least for me. If anybody blasphemes you, you might smile and say, no Prabhu, it doesn't matter, but later you will be thinking entire day about him. Why did he say to me like that? What's happening? Your mind will be disturbed. But we'll not be really thinking that he's my best friend. That's no way. But Mahapurna is thinking, how can he think like that? His vision is fixed on service. His vision is fixed. I am servant of Vishnu, and this person is helping me to serve Vishnu better than before. Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. So this person, people who are my disciples, who are flattering me, they are taking me away from Vishnu. This person is blaspheming me and making me remember that his world is not a good place to live in. I was so comfortable in my temple with my disciples, and I forgot that this world is dangerous and full of envious people. And this person came and made me remember that. So I am much more near to Vishnu. So he could think because his vision is fixed on service. This is how a devotee is equal to everybody. And this is how God is equal. For us, we serve Vishnu or Krishna. For Krishna, he serves his devotees. His service to devotees, we call it as mercy. So from our perspective, Krishna's service to us is mercy. From Krishna's perspective, our service to him is our mercy to him. He is gentle. Rupa Goswami says, Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, Krishna's personality, he is very gentle. He's very gentle. That Sanskrit word I forgot of gentle. I think Mridu or something. A gentleman thinks like that, no? A gentleman thinks that this person is doing service to me. This person is merciful to me, no? Any spiritual master, if a disciple offers something to a spiritual master, what is he supposed to think? I am a spiritual master and that's why I'll accept this? No. Spiritual master thinks that this disciple is merciful to me. That is allowing me to serve my spiritual master. No, Prabhupada said like that. No? Prabhupada said, my disciples, you are so merciful to me. You are helping me to serve my spiritual master. So Krishna thinks like that. Krishna, for Krishna, our service to him is we are doing mercy on him. That's what he thinks like that. It is not, you can't understand this philosophically. You have to understand this by the language of love, not by language of logic. You can't understand this. Because this is rasa vichar. This is not tattva vichar. So, this devotee is so nice. And a devotee thinks that Krishna is doing mercy on me. So, it is reciprocal love. That's what is happening in Vrindavan, no? So, Krishna thinks Radha and gopis, they are so merciful on me that they are allowing me to serve them. Allowing me to give them love. That's what is happening in Vrindavan. And that's what God is. Love and mercy both. That's what Vedanta Sutra says. Lokvattu Leela Syat. There's a sutra. Right in the beginning of Vedanta Sutra. Before this, there's a sutra. Na Prayojanatvat. Krishna doesn't do anything without any reason. He is doing everything with some reason. And this is one reason. In spiritual world, just one reason is love. In material world, the reason is mercy. In spiritual world, love wins mercy. In material world, mercy wins love. You see Lord Ramlila? Ramlila, you see. For benefiting entire world, for the welfare of this world, Lord Ram, he left his beloved wife, Sita. Why? Why should he leave his beloved wife? His beloved brother, Bharat. He was there for so many years, separate from Ram. Why should he do this? For welfare of the world, Krishna left his devotees, gopis, for around 100 years, 120 or 90 years, whatever calculation, in Vrindavan, and he was away from gopis. Gopis were very sad without Krishna, but even more sad was Krishna without them. So he could have simply remained with his devotees, but no, he separated himself from his devotees. Why? Because sometimes darkness helps to establish light. If you don't have darkness, you can't appreciate light. If you don't have evil, you can't appreciate good. So darkness serves light. Evil serves goodness. That is how devotee sees this material world as. That is how Krishna sees this world as. So separation serves union. That is our philosophy, no? So Ram separated from Sita to show this is maryada. To establish religious principles, he had to leave his love. To give mercy to people, he had to put love below mercy in this material world, no? Krishna, to establish the principles of love, he had to leave his beloved and to help people understand. This is mercy. And that is what Sukhdeva Goswami answers, or Parikshit says. Prabhupada begins a purport as Samo Aham Sarva Bhuteshu. Krishna is equal to everybody. Krishna is merciful to everybody. Everybody. For giving mercy, he can do anything. He can put his devotees in difficulties. Forget about leaving devotees. He puts his devotees in difficulties. Draupadi. What did Krishna do with Draupadi? No devotee. If Krishna does anything like this, what happened with Draupadi to all of us, we will leave Vrindavan forever. Definitely. How can Krishna do this thing to me? Disrobing Draupadi in front of everybody. That's the worst thing which can happen to any female. In fact, especially when Draupadi was in her periods. She was just in one cloth. She didn't have any other cloth. And she was about to be disrobed. And she participated in the plan of Krishna. And Krishna did this to her devotee. Why did he do that? He's perfect. But this seems imperfection, no? He couldn't help his devotee. And he's doing such a dangerous thing for his devotee. Why? Because so that he could extend his mercy to this material world. He could show people that this is a devotee. Even in spite of so many dangers, my devotee is always surrendered to me. And that's what Draupadi did, no? She called Govinda and Krishna helped him. And this was an incident which triggered Mahabharata. There were many incidents happening, but this was an incident, one of the main incidents which triggered Mahabharata. And without Mahabharata, Krishna wouldn't have conducted this war, Mahabharata. And without Mahabharata, Krishna wouldn't have been able to establish religious principles in this material world. So he's putting his devotees in difficulty, he's leaving his devotees, he's making himself sad for what? For mercy. This is equal vision. Mercy to people who are good, mercy to people who are evil, who hate him. That is why this word sama is very important. If we can understand this trick, Prabhupada says in this purport 9.29, if we can understand this samoham sarva bhuteshu, then Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, you can become like God. Brahma bhuyaya kalpate. But that doesn't mean we become God. But we have the same quality as Krishna. So you go and blaspheme him, you go and blaspheme Krishna. And what Krishna will be thinking? He will be thinking, how should I help him? And that's what this word is, Suhirda. Parikshit says this word, Suhirda. Suhirda means, he's thinking how to help him. You go and praise him, Krishna will be thinking, okay, yes, he's praising me, but how to help him? But he's not just thinking how to help this person. He's thinking how to help him in such a way so that he'll be able to help others. He is a perfect leader, and that's what one of the name of Krishna is in Vishnu Sahasranam. One of the name of Krishna is Neta. He's a perfect leader. If somebody blasphemes us, we'll never think that, how should I help him? That's not we humans. Okay, we can train our mind to think how, okay, let us train our mind by devotion and pure, make ourselves pure. Okay, if he blasphemes me, I'm supposed to think, how should I help him? But Krishna is beyond everything. Krishna is perfect. Krishna thinks how to help him and how to use him or engage him in service so that everybody else is helped. So he's thinking of a big picture, like Prabhupada. Prabhupada was like this, no? Prabhupada used to engage some devotee in service, but at the same time, he used to engage in such a way so that he's benefited and the mission is benefited. Both things. Not just that person is benefited. That's not a good leader. A leader is thinking about everyone else. And that's what Krishna was doing in this. You see, Abhimanyu. Krishna allowed Abhimanyu to be killed. How is this? Abhimanyu was son of Arjun. Krishna allowed Ghatotkar to be killed. He was son of? Was Bhima. Krishna allowed Draupadi's sons to be killed. Now why, what's happening, you know, like all these pure devotees and Krishna is allowing so many people to be killed. Why? Because Krishna knew that, okay, no problem. They are killed, no problem. But their death will serve as, their death will serve to establish religious principles in this material world. Their death will serve to glorify Draupadi. And she was the first person who said, that okay, this Ashwatthama, he killed my son, but I don't want to kill him. No. Death of Abhimanyu helped to serve one of the purpose of Lord Krishna. Death of Abhimanyu inspired Arjuna and all the Pandavas to fight with more spirit. Because many times Pandavas were actually losing their spirit. No, like in front of Bhishpitama, Arjuna lost his spirit. But Krishna had to encourage him, no, you have to kill them. So they became more encouraged. And death of Ghatotkat, there was some principle in that. And that's what Vedanta Sutra says. Na prayojanatvat. Krishna with one arrow, he achieves many purposes. So Lord Ram, he shot an arrow. When Sugriva asked Lord Ram, I want to test you, whether you can kill Bali or not. That was his doubt. Of course, that was not a good proposal. But Lord Ram shot an arrow, and the test was, if he shoots an arrow, all 7 trees should be shot down in one bow. Well, Lord Ram shot an arrow, and that arrow, it pierced all the 7 trees, and then not only that, it went to hellish planets, Rasatal. It went down and it killed a demon. And then it went up in the heavenly planets and it blessed the demigods. And then it went to one demon, Maya Danav, and that arrow injured him, and then it came back to Ram. Like one arrow and so many purposes. Krishna's nature is like that. He doesn't like to waste his time, no? One thing, one solution. Another thing, another solution. Oh, come on, he doesn't have time. He has to be with Radha and gopis and his friends. So he is thinking of some planning so that he can fulfill so many solutions with one solution. One purpose and many solutions. That's what Krishna is. And that one purpose is mercy. That's what he is fixed. One purpose is service to devotees and service to the people of this world, which we call as mercy from our perspective. That's what is Suhirda. That is small trick if we can learn. We can learn from Krishna. Sridhar Swami says in one of his commentary, we can learn from him. We can learn to be perfect leader like him. An ordinary leader, he gives service. A perfect leader, he creates services. And there's a difference. We can give service to somebody, okay, you do this. But a perfect leader, he will create a service so that that devotee or many devotees can do that service with their own will. Like Prabhupada did, no? Prabhupada created services, book distribution, Govinda restaurant, and many other devotees can avail to that service. He's not just allotting services. No, that's what not Prabhupada's plan. Prabhupada said, I hatched a plot in one of his letters. That is book distribution. That is a perfect. And you see, 7th canto is talking about perfection. I told you. Perfect person, perfect devotee, perfect civilization. That is perfect leader. And that is perfect Krishna. And that's what Sukhdev Goswami will actually argue in this Bhagavatam, all along in this canto. That is what the 7th canto is all about. Number 7, by the way, is a number of devil. You know this? 7, 7, 7, Bible. But yeah, so 7th canto is talking about a devil, Hiranyakashipu. But at the same time, it is talking about perfection of devil and perfection of a devotee. That's why it's 7. Anyway, it's not said anywhere, but I'm just thinking like that. You can think something. So, because Krishna's nature is like that, because he's always thinking of giving mercy to devotees, that is why this word is used, Priya. Second word, Priya. He is dear to everyone. And a devotee who becomes like that, he becomes dear to everyone. So how can Krishna do like that? And there's a small trick for that. Na me dvesho asti na priya. Krishna says that I am not thinking about myself. And this is the trick, niswarth. That is what will come in this canto. If you think about yourself, that is material. And Prabhupada mentions, Lord Vishnu has no material qualifications. That is why he is impartial. Material qualification means that thinking about oneself, about self-interest. If you don't think about yourself and think about devotees and Krishna, you're spiritual. If you're thinking about yourself, you're material. Spiritual doesn't mean that you glow or something, as Prabhupada used to say. Or it's something magical. There's nothing magical. So this is small trick we have to think. Forget thinking about yourself. That's all. That's what Prahlad, in this purport, Prabhupada mentions summary. Who is Prahlad? Prahlad is a devotee who is not thinking about himself. That's all. And all protection comes to him. And Hiranyakashipu is a person who is always thinking about himself. And this is a contrast, material and spiritual, light and darkness. Asato ma satkama, mrityu ma mritkama. What's that? Tamo, tamas ma jyotirgama? Jyotirgama. Tamasa ma jyotirgama, yeah. There's a contrast, no? And what's the difference? A new devotee, who are new, like we all, we are doing devotion, but we are thinking about ourselves. Okay, let me have peace and happiness from Krishna. But that is also material. Prabhupada says in one of his letter, devotee is not thinking about, let me have peace and happiness. Devotee is thinking, how can Krishna be happy? And Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if Krishna is happy giving me distress, that distress of minds is happiness. That's a perfect conception. Perfect person, perfect devotee, perfect conception. Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what devotee is thinking. You know what? There was a devotee in South India, and you might have heard, Nammalwar. Big devotee. And Vishnu came to have his darshan. Vishnu said, okay, let me have darshan of my devotee, Nammalwar. And he came. And he was in trance, Nammalwar. For 18 years he was in trance. After 18 years, Vishnu comes. And you know what did Nammalwar say to him? Nammalwar said, go back. Will we say like that? We'll not say. We'll say, oh Krishna, you are so nice, you are so merciful. After all, you have come. But he didn't say that. Nammalwar said, go back. You know why? He said, Vishnu, you have come for me in this material world, this useless place. I don't want you to come back to this useless place. You are so happy in spiritual world with all those Lakshmi, with all those devotees. Please don't come in this wretched place. This is Dukhalyam. And for me, please go back. This is devotion. How can he think like that? Because he's not thinking about himself. We are mostly thinking about ourselves. And that is the difference between Kanishth and Uttam. New devotee is thinking about himself. And that is what Bhagavatam says, no? New devotee is thinking only about God, not of devotees. Why? Because he's thinking about himself and God. But as you advance, you start losing this swarth. Or you might say in Mayavadi language, you have to annihilate yourself, not yourself but your ego. And that is why there was one devotee in South India. Who was that? Purandar Das or Kanak Das? He said, somebody asked him, who will go to God? He said, when I go, then I may go. When I go, then I may go. So this I has to go. This I. But that doesn't mean I don't exist. That means I'm useless. I will not do anything for myself. I will not do devotion even for my happiness, my peace. Nothing like that. Our vision should be fixed on mission of Prabhupada. That's all. If you can do that, if you are distributing food to others, you will never go hungry. If you are distributing money to others, you will never be poor. If you are distributing mercy to others, holy name to others, devotion to others, you will never be benefit of devotion. Is it? It's like that. That's in Sanskrit. In Sanskrit it's called kimutnyay. Anyway, so if you can lift 1,000 kilos, you can easily lift 100 kilos. No, that's no big deal. So that's what we are supposed to do, and that's what Prabhupada did. He was successful. His god brothers were not exactly successful because they were interested in their own devotion. But Prabhupada's vision was fixed on mission of Lord Chaitanya, and that's what I was reading yesterday. Lord Ram, he engaged monkeys and not big rishis, you see. And Prabhupada said, better become monkeys of God. We are not interested in sense control also. We are not interested. You can do your sense control, that's your agenda. We are so interested in sense control, no? We can do, no problem. You can do your austerities, very nice. You can be very happy, peaceful in Vrindavan, very good. But you cannot be with Ram then. Who were monkeys? Totally uncontrolled people. Completely uncontrolled. And in Valmiki Ramayana, they proved that they were uncontrolled. When Hanuman and all those people, all those monkeys, you read Valmiki Ramayana, when they came from Lanka and they brought the news of Sita, they came and they didn't go to Ram directly. They went to a garden, which was actually protected by the mama. What do we say, mama? Uncle? Yeah, English like that. Everybody's uncle. So uncle of Sugriv. And they destroyed the garden. And they bound him. They beat him nicely. He was trying to stop him. They told, see, we are very happy and we can't control our happiness. And we want to destroy this garden. We want to drink honey. And they became mad. They were so uncontrolled. But Lord Ram loved them, you know. So Lord Ram showed, I don't love people who are sense controlled. I love people who are fixed on my mission, you know. Who want to help me. Who want to help me fulfill my purpose, even though they are complete nonsense. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And that is why, you see, Lord Ram went to forest and he met all those rishi and he blessed them. Okay, rishis, you are very nice devotee and that's good. That's what he does to devotees who do devotion for themselves. You go to Krishna Balaram, he is always smiling at you. You are very nice, blessing. He is good. But he will never engage such people in his service. He engaged monkeys. So that is why Rupa Goswami says, and there's a beautiful verse in Padyavali. And Rupa Goswami mentions there. Rupa Goswami says, let anyone who wants to do austerities, let them do. Let anyone who wants to control their senses, let them control their senses. Let anyone who wants to do pious activities, let them do. As far as we are concerned, we want to be servants of the dust of lotus feet of devotees. We are that. We want to become monkeys of Lord Ram. We want to become super uncontrolled if Krishna wants to engage in his service. No problem. No problem. If Krishna says, come and fight for me, but you have to become out of control. Okay, we will become out of control. Because we want to serve him, no? This is what is Mahaprabhu's, this is what is Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which people can't understand, which many yogis, jnanis, and even in other sampradayas, this concept is there, but it is hidden. It is not explicit. It is hidden in Divya Prabandha and everywhere. But in Gaudiya Vaishnav Samaj, that is the point. So this is a trick we have to understand. This somehow, by this word, we can perfect our lives. Sama also means perfection, by the way. It means equality. If you see Sanskrit dictionary, sama also means perfection. Perfect. Sama also means comes from samyak. Samyak means full, complete, perfection. So that is Bhutanam Bhagwan Swayam. And you see this word Bhutanam? People who are like Bhut, you understand Bhut? That's people who are like ghost, they can't understand all these things. People who are not devotees, they are ghosts. You know why? Because their body is like a crematorium. Without Krishna, this body is like a crematorium, no? Sukhdev says. And people who live in crematorium, they are ghosts. That is why Sanskrit people say Bhutanam. Living entities are also called Bhut. They are like ghosts, Sukhdev Goswami says. They can't understand anything. Bhagavan Swayam, that Lord Krishna, he is. Swayam means complete in himself. Swayam means. Swayam also in Sanskrit, it means, what Prabhupada says, himself. Krishna is him in himself. He is complete. Swayam is also a word used for complete. He is complete. And that is why he acts in such a way which is for benefit of everybody. But people who are stupid, who are fools, who are not trained, who have no training from devotees, they can't understand these things. They are completely confused. And when they are confused, they glide down to lower species of life. And when they glide down, they meet some devotee and then they perfect their life. That is also mercy of God. To confuse others, that is also mercy of God. That's another thing. Why does he wants to confuse others? Because if they get confused, their desire to become confused is fulfilled. And then they become bored by confusion. Then they go to some devotee, please guide me, and then their life becomes perfect. Krishna is far intelligent than all of us. So let us pray to him that he gives this small fraction of his quality to us, just like he has given his qualities to this creation. He has given small fraction of his beauty to moonlight. He has given small fraction of his tolerance, power to tolerate, to this earth. He has given small fraction of his magnanimity to sky. He has given small fraction of his anger to sun. So he can give small fraction of his equality to us. And then our life becomes perfect. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There are 2 minutes, and if there's any question, suggestions, you can ask me. I'm done. It's my request, you can please go and read summary of this and Prabhupada purport, and Prabhupada's meaning, word to word meaning, is perfect. I have read many commentaries of Acharyas, but they also give a meaning, but Prabhupada gives a very practical word to word meaning. It's a different, he's giving a realized meaning. And that is why his books are special, and we can, stupid people like us, we can talk on such lofty subjects, and we can understand such good concepts, which people who are Shastri in Sanskrit, they can't even understand. I know many people. That's mercy of Prabhupada, and this is so nice that we are in with Prabhupada, and we can help others by fulfilling his mission. Okay, any questions, or just 1 minute is there. That's all. Yes, bro. Yeah, 1 minute is there. And thank you to everybody to hear my class. And Prabhu also, Vrindavan Chandra. Envy should be destroyed. Yeah. Well, no, well, envy can be destroyed by one way. And Madhvacharya, that's a whole philosophy of Madhva. In many of his books, Madhva says, envy can be destroyed by preaching. He says this. And that's the worst enemy, envy, no? We know. Lust also, we can, that's okay. That's no problem, much. Envy is a big problem. And Madhva says, by preaching. That's why Mahaprabhu says, Amar aage hoye taro e desh. So, if you preach, you might not be able to help anybody, but you will help yourself, at least. So that's envy. If we start giving ourselves, then we can destroy this envy. And that's what I have mentioned here, that small trick. Forget yourself. Why envy comes? Because he's greater than me? But if there's no me, there's no envy. Who am I? I am nothing. No, not destroy our false ego. That's a meaning. No. Our self-interest, I'm important. That thing we have to destroy. I'm not important. Envy is finished. Of course, it takes time. I understand. It takes time to imbibe this concept. But at least theoretical understanding is there. If we preach, we can get rid of envy. People, that's why people who don't preach, they will never surpass enviousness. It's impossible. That's why Bhakti Sandha said, many people who sit in Vrindavan, they do their own bhajan, they don't preach. They might be very nice, but they're full of enviousness. Bhakti Sandha said this. Preach to enemy? Prahlad can preach. Prahlad Maharaj, he preached. I can't do. Prabhupada can do. Oh yeah, Pakistan, we can't preach. We can fight with them. That's a political agenda. Anyway. Okay, so any other question, or we'll just finish there? Yeah, Pakistan, we can't do. Yeah, you're right. That sense control, I was talking from the perspective of yogis and jnanis. That dry sense control. For devotees, we serve Krishna, automatically senses are controlled. That's the idea. So that verse is unnecessary sense control, which is not helping to serve him. That's what, yeah, that's the good clarification. Oh, Pankaj now, Prabhu. But Prabhupada himself said, I was successful, my god brothers are not successful. It sounds unpleasant. Oh, really?
They also play their parts and they are superior.
No, successful in matter of preaching, not in matter of spirituality. We know Kesha Prage Maharaj, Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, they were great devotees. But matter of preaching, were not as successful as Prabhupada. So in that perspective, not in perspective of the spiritual advancement, we nobody says that. They are great and they were... But matter of preaching and management, Prabhupada was unsurpassable. Nobody was like him. They used to say he's a businessman. He was a true businessman. In that perspective. And I think Prabhupada meant that when he says, my god was not successful in matter of preaching. But then he, at the last moment he said, you are all great. So spiritual realm is different, preaching is that sense. That's okay. Okay, if you are comfortable, then we are comfortable. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.